This episode of TechPod is brought to you by the SolarWinds Upgrade Resource Center. For valuable upgrade resources like the Orion Upgrade Advisor, upgrade planning checklists, educational resources, and more, please visit support.solarwinds.com/upgrade-resource-center.
IT folks have a hot and cold relationship with the idea of upgrades. If it's our phone or a game console, most of us want to be first in line. But when it comes to our business environments, we're pretty lukewarm. I know plenty of experienced IT practitioners who are almost proud of how long some of their systems have gone without a patch or an update. It's kind of like the whole thing about not rebooting your Novell server for months at a time. I don't know. To be blunt about it, this is one of the dumbest things that we could possibly do as tech pros. So with me today to talk about all this, Crystal Taylor and Mike Driscoll.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Okay, so since the topic of this episode is upgrades, I want to do introductions like we normally do, but usually I do some shameless self-promotion where we talk about our Twitter handle and stuff like that. Instead, I want you each to introduce yourself by talking about the upgrade system you like the most. And I can see the confused looks on your faces, so I'll go first, and hopefully it'll be a little bit clearer when we go through there. Okay, so my name again is Leon Adato, and I'm a head geek at SolarWinds. Yes, that really is my job title, and it's no secret that I am a Linux fanboy. So one of the reasons that I happen to love Linux so much is the upgrade process. With other operating systems, Windows... when you try to do upgrades, it could be multiple reboots. It could be, you know, several, you could do an upgrade and then another upgrade and then another upgrade. And then, oh, by the way, this other thing, because it's piece by piece and it has to, it is sequential. Whereas with Linux, when you do an upgrade, you're getting all the bits at one time. And usually they work even without a reboot. It's really no fuss, no muss. So I really love that. So that's one of the, that's my favorite upgrade system. Okay. So hopefully the introduction thing is clear now. Crystal, how about you go next?
So my name is Crystal Taylor. I am also a head geek here at SolarWinds. And previous to that, I've been about 10 years into being a SolarWinds consultant and administrator. So that was fun. And my favorite upgrade thing lately, to probably very few people's surprise, is going to be about gaming. And one of the things that I am super impressed with this time around is that there's not really any need to upgrade to a Series X if you have a gaming PC. They have done wonders with the upgrades from consoles to PC. And so where, you know, you could get the same value out of a console as you would a PC, but since I already have a PC and I can piecemeal and upgrade my PC in parts, which is also wonderful. And I did a PC upgrade earlier this year that was very exciting. You know, you can do all of that and you still get to get all your Xbox stuff. And I'm still waiting on my PS5. One day I'll be able to buy one, but not today.
Right. Today is not that day. Okay, great. All right. And wrapping up the intros, the voice on this episode who has any actual credibility since he's not a head geek, Mike Driscoll, welcome to TechPod.
Thank you. And I actually would probably want to sit here and talk to Crystal more about gaming upgrades as I sit here next to my PC waiting to buy a new video card. But I guess I'll do the shameless plug and say we probably should talk about SolarWinds upgrades.
All right. So what do you like about the SolarWinds upgrade? Like, what's, why is it one of your favorites?
I like how far it's come, to be honest. So I've done several upgrades, and the most recent one that I did was just 2 days ago and literally went to the page, clicked a button, and we're all there and done. And having access to whatever the latest and greatest feature might be or fixing a previous bug, I'm never one to fall too far behind on code.
Got it. Okay, great. And we'll probably get into that a little bit more as the episode progresses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to say, we might not all be head geeks, but we are all THWACK MVPs.
Well, former MVP since we joined SolarWinds.
Right, we had to give it up. Although I prefer to think of us as MVP emeritus. You know, I really don't ever want to get rid of my MVP status. So I'll hang on to it, however I'm able to do so. Okay, so with introductions out of the way, where I want to start is with, I think what every IT person listening to this episode is probably thinking, which is the honest to God truth is that upgrades are a pain in the ass. I mean, they really are. They're just difficult. So before we talk about how they're wonderful or why they're necessary, I think it's important to, you know, be sort of transparent about it and say, why do IT people put off doing upgrades? And I'll start off with maybe one of the biggest ones. They're risky. I mean, upgrades don't always go well. And the worst part about an upgrade that fails is that not only do you not have an upgrade, like it, you know, that didn't work, but now you have possibly an unusable system and you have all this extra work to do to put it back just to the way it was before you even started. And it makes you think, why did I bother? Why didn't I just leave it the way it was, leave well enough alone? So I think that's one of the things that a lot of IT folks have been burnt once or twice, and that's why they're just cold to the whole thing. What are some other reasons?
So they can be time consuming, and oftentimes you have to do it in the middle of the night. I once was on an upgrade that took 3 days with engineers swapping out, and that was the roughest upgrade I think I've ever been on. But it can happen.
Was that like Assassin's Creed or Halo or? Okay. What else? What are the other reasons why you would not want to?
Change control can definitely be a thorn in many of our customers' sides. I personally remember having to get basically a letter from a dead relative in order to be able to conduct any form of change. And those can be a pain in themselves.
Yeah. Even getting the time to present to the cab is problematic in some companies.
Right. And presenting a monitoring change to people who have no concept what monitoring is, but are just nervous about the whole thing. I used to have to do change controls at a bank, and there is no more risk averse environment than banking. I'm sorry, but it's, you know, I've worked in healthcare and it just, I've worked in factory environments. It's just really hard. So, okay, cool. So I'm also going to say that a lot of times, IT folks don't see a compelling reason to do an upgrade. I mean, let's face it, bug fixes isn't something that really has me super excited to get up, as you said, Crystal, at 1 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, like, woohoo, I get to do this. That is not how I feel about bug fixes. So with those things sort of on the table, I think it's important for us to go back and talk about how they're not as big a problem as we think they are. A lot of times. So let's start off with the whole concept of expense, that they're expensive. It takes time and resources and it's really hard. And I'm going to start off with, you know, there's this old phrase, if you think education is expensive, try ignorance, which I turned around. And when I was trying to talk to people about just monitoring at all, I would tell people, if you think that a monitoring solution is expensive, wait until you have to pay for the first system failure, because that's usually an order of magnitude or two greater. In fact, that was the whole point of my keynote at THWACK Camp last year, was that a $5,000 monitoring system, they said no to, but then the failure cost $1 million. So like, you saved $5,000, sure you did. And I think the same thing here, that if you think it's a lot of work to upgrade, just try dealing with a system that has completely collapsed on itself because it hasn't been patched in years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure Mike can attest to this as well. I mean, doing hundreds of upgrades over the years, there are some that are not even worth doing once you've reached a certain delta between current version and the version that you're on. I mean, the amount of steps it's going to take, if you're going to have to go through two more OSs, probably just start over. Just start over. I mean, you're going to be better off. The pain that you would go through to upgrade a system that's, let's say, is on a 2003 server, been there, done that, horrible, don't want to do it again. When you have to move 2003 to 2016, just start over. I mean, there are times that you have to do that. And really making that assessment is important early on before you figure out, it's halfway through, that it's gone bonkers because you're doing that step to step to step to this server and that server and this server, especially with SQL involved and having to do those SQL upgrades as well and transitions as well. It adds a layer of complexity. So sometimes the answer is just start over. Port over what you can database-wise and start over.
I call that the nuke it from orbit option. Mike, have you run into any of the, again, you know, when you talk about the expense, the cost of doing it, are there any things that you would say to IT folks who are like, no, it's too expensive. And you, as an experienced IT person, a seasoned professional, we don't say old around here. So what, like, how would you argue that?
Yeah, it's like the whole, like you said, bug fixes aren't compelling. Well, I didn't want to spend 4 hours at the dealership either to get a safety recall for my airbag fix, but I also don't want that blowing up in my face when I was just driving down the road without even being in an accident, which is what the recall was. So you have the, like Crystal said, you don't necessarily want to get, be doing the stepped upgrade and getting many versions behind where it is going to be more painful, but you also don't necessarily need to do every single one. You know, maybe it's an upgrade once a year to keep you pretty much in line with, so you're only plus or minus one version back of code.
That's actually really smart, is just knowing that unless there's something compelling that you need to upgrade for, but then when you do need to upgrade, you know, let's say there is that compelling feature that comes out or whatever it is, then it's not that big a lift to do. I like that. I also want to say that this is not a surprise for software vendors, whether we're talking about operating system people or software vendors like SolarWinds or whatever it is, that we know upgrades are a pain. We know they take too long. And once again, using Linux as an example, like I run on a Debian-based system, I run on Ubuntu, and it's like sudo apt update, sudo apt upgrade, the end. And really, it takes like 45 seconds. And my upgrade is done. And the same thing I know for SolarWinds, Mike, you were talking about it before. It's like single click, walk away, come back half a cup of coffee later, and it's finished.
Yeah. Shameless plug here. Earlier this year when we did Thwack Camp, we did a live upgrade within 20 minutes with an additional polling engines and several modules. So people were doing it during Thwack Camp. They paused in the middle. They were watching Thwack Camp and went and upgraded their Orion systems because they didn't realize how much it had changed. And having been around SolarWinds software for 10 years, I definitely want to attest to the amazing work that our teams have been doing to improve that upgrade process. It is night and day from when I started working with SolarWinds, better and faster.
We're all nodding. You can't see us, but we've all been doing using SolarWinds as users and then as consultants and stuff for a while. And we're all, you know, we're thinking back a few years when, you know, it wasn't hard compared to other software. Like, you know, I've done, you know, Unix system upgrades and things like that, where every piece required an engineering degree. It wasn't like that, but it was a little shaky every time. Like, you just weren't sure. And it has become so smooth. And the fact that it tells you, the installer tells you before you even start, hey, you need to install this, you know, version, or you need to make sure you back this thing up, or would you like me to do it for you? And it's just, it's delightful.
And now you can actually even do that pre-planning, you know, a week or two before you're going to do the upgrade. You can go ahead and have it checked to see what outliers it might find so you can prep for it.
Right. And the pre-staging also. I don't mean for this tech pod to become a commercial for Orion or for SolarWinds, but you can actually, I know that half the time that I was upgrading was spent just moving bits from one machine to another machine. And that doesn't require change control. Moving bits typically doesn't require change control. So the ability to pre-stage your bits and put them onto all the systems where they need to be, and then simply pull the trigger on the upgrade itself, is a huge time saver. It's really big. Okay, so I think that takes us to one of the pieces that makes me the most frustrated, which is when somebody says, well, I don't need to upgrade because I don't need any of the new features. And I'm just going to go full Lex Luthor in the Superman movie. And just in the microphone, I'm going to shout, but I won't because our sound engineers will hate me. But I'm just going to shout, wrong! Wrong! That's not true. You do need the... Of course you need the features. Right?
Yeah. You know, every week I talk to handfuls of customers, and I'll hear them say they have this use case they need to solve. And a lot of times it's stuff that we already do. Like when we came out with the Network Insights, for example, for Palo Altos or ASAs or Nexus devices, I'll get people saying they want to be able to monitor their VPN status, or maybe it's something that we do with Active Directory for SAM, but a lot of times the features are already there and they just aren't aware of it because they're three or four revs behind.
Yeah, I see this when I'm at conventions. Back in the day, we're recording this in...
when we could go places?
Yeah, we're recording this in December of 2020, still in the middle of the nightmare hellscape pandemic. But we remember fondly the days in which people got to, you know, traveled on airplanes and got together in large convention halls. And back in those days, people would come to the booth routinely and they'd say, so what's new? And I'd show them something. So, oh my gosh, is this new? And I would say, well, if you're talking about like geological time, sure, it's new. Everything's new. But it's been out for like 2.5 years. And like, I didn't even know that. And because they're not doing the upgrades, or even when they do the upgrades, they don't realize what capabilities are added to it. So yeah, that's, I love that. Like, I need to do this thing. You have it. What? I have it.
And honestly, I'd like to throw out there, consider that, you know, while you may not be able to use a particular feature, somebody else might. So especially when it comes to monitoring, you get new things added and maybe right now your network team isn't using the same monitoring system as you. But if you could take it all under one umbrella and it can get them the things that they need in a faster, easier way than what they're using, might be easy to consolidate and save your business money.
Yeah. Just to touch on that again, like I was saying, with having the feature already there, a lot of times we're on calls with customers and there might be the manager or the director on the phone and they're actively looking for a tool and they're considering buying something. And then when I tell them that they already have it and they don't have to spend another dollar, A, that's great. But then B, they're also thinking to themselves, why are we 4 revs behind? And that's where, unfortunately, we hang up the phone and I'm not the one having that conversation to explain that to their boss, but it's reality.
Right. And I'll close up this section just by saying that I was with a client who was evaluating multiple pieces of software. And every time they said, well, we're looking at software X, and like, well, the software you have does that. No, it doesn't. Look, that's because you're 4 versions behind. It was added 3 versions ago. You know, well, but we're looking for software that does Y. Well, the software you have does that. You know, again, it, and they find, what they finally realized was Mike, what you were saying, but also they said, it's actually not fair for us to do an RFP for new software if the software we already own isn't on the latest version. So we don't even, like, it suddenly was this light bulb moment. And I think that's another reason why saying, I don't need those features. Maybe you don't think you do, but if you're ever in a situation where you're feeling like, oh, I've got to go look, you know, shop around for some new software to do XYZ, if your current software isn't current, how can you even possibly know that? So I want to pivot over to the whole, like, bug fixes aren't compelling. Mike, I really like that example of safety recalls on cars. Like, those are also not, you know, like, well, that's not exciting. It's not as exciting as buying a new car. I said we were talking about it before we started recording. It's like having a Barry White Whitney Houston duet, just sexy singing into your ear. There's nothing to update here. It's like, it makes me so happy. So
yeah, I'm actually writing a blog about this right now, which is essentially, this is about the conversation that you should be having before you actually do the software upgrade, the part where you're doing all of your planning, where you're considering the risks, where you're considering bugs, where you're considering costs, impacts, all of that stuff, your recovery plan, because as we all know, something can go sideways. So you need to have all of that stuff in place ahead of time and do an assessment kind of to figure out, you know, is it going to be more cost effective for us to just start over? You know, are we that far behind that we need to just start over? This is the conversation, and all of the information that you uncover while you're doing this, while you're having this conversation, while you're doing these assessments, all of that is fodder for the conversation with the business to say, hey, we really need to do this change right now. All of that's fodder because they're going to ask you these questions. And if you already have answers for them, that makes it all the easier for you to convince them that now is the time. Now is when we should be doing this. Okay. All of that is part of the conversation that you should be having ahead of time. And that includes new features, of course, but that also includes, you know, all of that other stuff. How much time is it going to take me to do this? if I wait 6 months, how much additional time is it going to take to do this? How much additional materials? What are the resource requirements? Because as software becomes adds new features and becomes more robust, obviously the resource requirements change as well. So all of that is things that you can be planning ahead of time. In my previous life, I had a template that I built that forced our engineers to go out and do all of this assessment ahead of time to ensure that we had the smoothest upgrade possible. Because honestly, something can still go wrong. Even if you do all the prep work, something can still go wrong. I mean, Murphy's Law is still there. There's still chaos. There's still random things in your environment. Something can go wrong. But if you can minimize the risk of something going wrong, or minimize the risk that not doing this upgrade or not moving forward on your software is going to cost more money. You know, if you could get a feature by upgrading the software you already own, to go back to your point earlier, if you can upgrade and get a feature that you already own, isn't it going to cost you less than buying a whole nother software to do that one thing or two things that you can do? And, you know, make sure you're doing those assessments ahead of time, because honestly, it can save the company money. It'll save you time in the long run. And the company always likes to hear that they can be saving money somewhere.
Well, and also I think the point that you made about it will take you longer later. Like, hey boss, this upgrade is going to cost us 2 hours of our time. Oh, we just don't have 2 hours. We're going to put it off till later. All right, it'll take 4 later. What? Yeah, and why? Because you have more to do.
The longer you put it off, the longer it takes. Remember earlier when I talked about that 3-day upgrade horror story? Okay, I'm just saying, the longer that you wait, the longer you put it off, the more changes are going to be involved, the more work is going to be involved, and the longer it takes, and the more risks that are introduced as well.
Or when your operating system goes unsupported, and then the software you're using for monitoring isn't going to work on that, on going forward with new versions. But it all comes down to planning a lot of times. It's that whole measure twice, cut once. And as somebody who bought their first set of power tools this past summer and built a desk, I can attest that I might want to measure 3 times in the future. But you definitely have to plan it out to try to mitigate that risk. Although I like hearing the story about the guys on Thwack Camp upgrading live during the sessions. Hopefully they submitted change requests for those, but
it was,
it was amazing.
It was really, it was heartwarming. They're like, oh my gosh, this is easy enough. I can do it now. I just asked my boss. They said I can do it. Like, you know, I was showing them this, and, you know, environments are different sizes and some people have different change controls, but it was really fun to hear. And we're like, tell us how it's going. There's a few of us, Crystal and I, especially, we're on chat and we're like biting our nails. Like, please tell me how it goes. Cause what we don't want to hear is like, yeah, I started it and my whole system's down now. What do I do? So they were like, no, it went, this is great. It was really kind of cool. That's our view from a SolarWinds standpoint, but other software has a lot of the same things. I also, in the idea of planning, I just want to reinforce that if your monitoring is watching mission critical or business critical systems, then by definition, your monitoring is business critical also. And therefore, all the things you do for your business critical systems, like having a lab, having an environment that you test things in, you should be doing for monitoring also. And we have lots of conversations about how to build a lab and how to do it for not much cost or even free and things like that. But regardless of whether we're talking about, you know, a monitoring solution or your operating system or whatever, you should have a system that you can test the upgrade on, so that you know to expect, that you know it's going to ask for this information. Oh my gosh, it's asking me for the login to the database. I didn't have that in my handy right now, or whatever it is. Like, oh, that's what the upgrade's going to look like. Any good IT person is going to have done a dry run of it during the day without the change control, because it's a test system, you know, all that, but they know what they're getting into so that when showtime comes, they have it. I have to reinforce that having a lab system is imperative in any reasonable IT context. I don't know if there's anything to add to that.
No, I mean, just that we acknowledge that it's not always possible for you to have your own lab environment to do these dry runs, but where possible, it is nice to do a dry run ahead of time, especially when you can get your software licenses. You can get evals of software licenses for most software for, 15 days or whatever. So even if it's not SolarWinds software or whatever software you happen to be upgrading, I mean, consider just throwing a VM up somewhere and building it in an eval mode and then doing the upgrade in that way if you can, to save on costs.
Yeah, I see a lot of customers do that with just evals. They don't necessarily, maybe they're not big enough to justify a full-on, always-on lab environment. So they'll spin up a VM with the trial software, test out the upgrade, and then plan for their production upgrade.
Yeah, and just one last addition. If it is a software like SolarWinds that has a robust database, consider replicating the database to that test system when you do that trial run. It'll make all the difference in the world to your final run.
Yeah, upgrading, live data, upgrading not live data, but real data, like, stuff that, absolutely. Okay, so this has been a really good conversation. I want to finish up with the lightning round. I love this part. Any last thoughts, any final things from anything we've talked about that you want to share? Crystal, you get first dibs.
First tips. So, if it's your first time upgrading and you're not sure or anything, there's lots of forums out there. SolarWinds has great. The THWACK forum is great. I'll always promote it. We were all THWACK MVPs, so we're all for it. There's always forums out there for most software that you can go talk to other people who've been through what you're going to go through. Reach out to the communities because communities are great and most people are good when in those places, especially THWACK. So if you ever need advice or you're looking for somebody's experience, it's probably out there somewhere. Go look it up.
Yeah, THWACK. There's always a Reddit for something. There's usually a Stack Overflow for something. There's, you can find an environment and just putting out there, hey, I'm doing the upgrade from X to Y. The other thing is that when you say things like that, the engineers, I'm looking at Mike while I say this, the engineers are like, oh, really? You're up, especially if you are on the leading edge of upgrades. Engineers are always interested to hear what those experiences are like. And so you may end up getting a little bit of extra attention or extra love from somebody saying, really, you're going from what to what? I'd like to hear about that. Tell me how that goes.
Yeah, I think one other thing I would point out is, we talked about bug fixes, we talked about compelling features, but something to also consider is doing the upgrade on a regular basis, whether that be 6 months or yearly, so you don't fall back behind. Maybe there isn't a bug fix that impacts you, or maybe there isn't a feature you need, but if you don't want to end up being 4, 5, 6 versions away and have to, as Leon put it, nuke it from orbit, maybe look at planning for, an upgrade window once a year.
Yeah, I like it. I really like that. And it's good IT hygiene, right? You brush your teeth, you wash behind your ears, you patch your systems.
And you back up your data.
And you back up your data.
Every IT person backs up all their data every time.
You should be. And, one of our other head geeks, Tom LaRock, is famous for saying that improving performance will get you a promotion, but being able to restore will keep your job.
that is true advice.
Yep. Okay. Crystal, Mike, thank you so much for taking time to talk about upgrades today. Really appreciate you making some time for this episode.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
So this is the shameless self-promotion part. If people want to find out more about you and the work that you're doing or hear more of what you have to say, where can they find you out on the interwebs? Mike?
The easiest place to actually find me is either in an online game or on THWACK. The handle is just M Driscoll.
I also can be found in games frequently, but I am pretty active on Twitter at CrystalT87, and I am also on THWACK, of course, at CrystalT, and on Instagram, and I think that one is at GeekCrystalT, but don't hold me to that one.
Just look for her, you'll find her. I'll round it out. You can find me on the Twitters, which I say like that because it horrifies my children every time, at Leon Adato, right? And you can also find me on THWACK at Adato L-E. So you can find me, thwack.com there. For everyone at SolarWinds, I want to thank you, our listeners, for carving time out of your busy day to listen to this episode. Thank you, and see you soon on another episode of TechPod.